Welcome to the Simple Church Podcast, where we're committed to helping you know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference. Let's get to today's message.
And we're in this series called Step by Step, and we call it Step by Step because we have a vision statement around here. In other words, this vision statement is like, if we're doing what God has called us to do, this is what it'll look like. And that vision statement is reaching people far from God and teaching them to follow Jesus step by step. There are steps that I think are applicable to every single one of us. And I don't think these 10 steps that we're covering in this series are it. I think there are plenty of steps that you need to take on an individual basis as you walk out your faith and your life with Jesus. And those steps are specific to you. But I think there are steps that are specific to every single one of us. And that's what we're talking about in this series. The steps that will lead you to what Jesus promised that you could have, which is a full and fulfilled life. He said, that's what I came to give you. And so if you want that, these are the steps, and they're very, very simple. They're found throughout Scripture, and I'm trying to make them easy, and here's where we've been so far. The first step, step one, is to make Jesus Lord of your life. That means you are admitting you need some help, that you are spiritually destitute and poor. In other words, the way you have been living your life is not leading to being spiritually fulfilled. There's something that is missing, and that thing that is missing is what you were created for. The Bible says that each one of us, that eternity has been placed in the hearts of us. In other words, there is something missing from us if we are not fellowshipping with that which is supernatural and eternal, and that's God. And so we have a relationship with God through the sacrifice that Jesus made, because it's not a gap that we could bridge on our own. We are sinful people, and God is holy and just and righteous. We are not. And so Jesus' sacrifice made it so that we could be forgiven, made right with God, and be in relationship with him. We make Jesus Lord of our lives, saying, Jesus, we're going to do everything you tell us to do. Step one. Step two is doing the first thing he asks you to do, which is to get baptized. Baptism is a ritual or a ceremony that we go through that is meant for us, that is not about our salvation. It's just about our obedience. It's doing something that identifies physically with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what baptism is all about. These messages are available to you. I'm not going to re-preach them all to you, but please listen to them. Step three is knowing God through his word. You can know who God is, and that's one of the greatest things he has for you, is for you to know him. He knows you intimately. He knows every hair that's on your head. He's got them numbered. He knows you that personally, that deeply, and he wants you to know him the same way. The Bible says that he called Moses his friend. They spoke face to face, and you can have that kind of relationship with God too. You can know God through his word. Step four was learning to talk to God through prayer. Step five is learning to hear God's voice, because he will speak to you and he does want to speak to you personally. Step six was last week, and it was learning to win the battle for your mind, because my friends, the way that we will walk away from our faith is because we get deceived. That's what the Bible tells us, that we will embrace a deception. And where does that deception come from? Well, the father of lies himself, Satan. He has no power and authority over your life. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus led captivity captive. In other words, the devil's end has already been determined. His power over you is already broken. In fact, the only power he has in your life is the power that you give him. And that power, the thing he's got, the thing that's not bound, is his flapping tongue. And the Bible says that if the devil is speaking, it's his native language to lie. I'm preaching good up here. I know you're listening well, but I'm preaching good up here. I'm telling you, that's the way the enemy will defeat you. And last week we talked about, how do we win that battle? How do we fight those strongholds that are locked up here in our minds that keep us from experiencing God's best for our lives? Today we're going to take a step number seven. And this is an area that I think we do okay in, but I believe that as a church, we definitely need to grow in. And I understand that it's a step that's hard for us, because vulnerability is difficult for us. Trusting people sometimes can be difficult for us for a variety of reasons. I recognize that, but I want you to understand that taking this step that I'm getting ready to share with you is so worth it. And part of taking this step has to do with undoing a belief that is deeply ingrained in a lot of us, especially if you grew up going to church. And it's simply that Sundays are it. That Sunday service is it for me. The Sunday service is where I'm going to experience everything I need in order for my life to be transformed. We wrongly believe that what we need for our lives to look like Jesus is more church services. That's why some churches have church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. You say, dear God. Yeah, some churches do. So the people believe that what they need to have their life transformed is for a man of God or a woman of God who is a pastor, has a title in their name, to bop them on the head and rub them down with oil, push them to the ground. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have experienced this stuff. You think that what we need in order to have our lives transformed is more songs in the Sunday morning service. Now, I don't have a problem if you like worship songs, but if you think that's what's going to lead you is into life transformation is a sing-along, you're wrong. It's not what you need. We don't need more special worship nights. Nothing wrong with those things, but those are not the things that are going to lead you to a transformed life. We also think that maybe what we need is wilder church services. We need to whoop ourselves into some kind of emotional frenzy. Everybody needs to get all excited. They need to start running and shouting and screaming. And I don't mind if you got a shout of praise. And I don't mind if you got a clap in you. If you got a little bop in you during service. And I don't mind if you want to lift your... Like, all that is biblical. All that is fine. But sometimes these church services just get out of hand. And there's some crazy stuff going on. Just go to YouTube and look. That's not what leads to our lives being transformed. It's just not. Worship, by the way, is not just singing. We think worship is. We call it the worship part of our service, but it's not. Worship is really adding worth to something or giving worth to something. It's you want to know what you worship? Look at what everything in your life is pointed to. What are you willing to sacrifice for? What is everything, your daily activities, your mindset, what is everything pointed towards? For some of you, that's having a drink at the end of the day. Some of you, that's having more than a drink. It's having lots of drink. Some of you, it is your drugs. Some of it is your television shows. Some of it is your hobby. Some of it's your kids. Or some of it's your kids' activities, whatever it is that you point your life towards and are willing to sacrifice for is what you worship. But worship isn't just singing. Preaching, I gotta be honest with you, my preaching ain't that good. Thank you for coming to my rescue. You guys are just like, this is awkward, what do we do? Listen. I didn't say you don't enjoy it. Didn't say that. I just said my preaching ain't good enough to transform your life. There's nobody's that is. No, I can inspire you, I can challenge you, but I can't change your life. There's steps you have to take in order to do that. And there's no amount of shouting, there's no amount of me bopping you on the head and pushing you to the ground that is gonna change you. Sundays and all we've made it isn't it. It's not just about this, what we need. Here's what we need, and your Bible tells you that this is true. If you've already taken all these other steps, this one right here is one of the bigger keys. What we need is authentic, honest, life-changing relationships. And you know where you'll find them? Within the context of our church here at Simple Church, in a grow group or joining a team. Get on the dream team. You say, Aaron, I get it, but that's really hard. I don't want to be open. I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't need people to know what's going on in my life because I don't want people to judge me. So what I'm going to do is do it my way. I'm going to ignore what the Bible says, and I'm just going to get everything by osmosis and show up on Sunday for the hour and 15 minutes that we're here, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get it all. And you're wrong. It's not going to happen. You need more than Sunday, and I'll make the case for that today. What this step that I'm going to talk about today is not optional. It's not like you're at a restaurant and you've ordered a burger and fries and they're like, you want bacon and cheese on that? First of all, duh. Second of all, what I'm talking about is not an add-on to your life. It is your next step. It's your next step. It's critical that you embrace this step. God has this for you. It'll change your life because I believe that without what we're going to talk about today, without these kind of relationships, that your life will collapse around you. It's amazing to me how many times that I sit with people and we offer pastoral counsel here, and I'm happy to sit with you and hear the situation that's going on in your life and offer you some biblical counsel, some experience from my own life and speak to it and pray with you. Like, I'm fine to do that. And I have no issue. This is not a complaint. This is a lament that a lot of times I sit with people that don't even go to this church. And it's amazing to me as they begin to unpack the issues that they're having in their life, and I look at them and I go, who at your church knows what's going on? And they go, oh, no one. No one knows anything about this, because if they knew, fill in the blank. If they knew, and that blank is always connected to loss. Loss of relationship, loss of opportunity, loss of worth or value in the social circle. They're afraid of loss. They're afraid of being rejected and kicked out. They're like, no. I can't tell anybody what's going on with me at my church. And I'm like, that's your first problem. Hello? That's your first problem. Sadly, a lot of Christians do this. And we do exactly what the world does. We choose to adopt a mask. We wear a mask and we pretend like the hell that we're going through isn't going on. And we wear a mask and like we show up on Sunday mornings and people go, how you doing? You say, fine, how you doing? They go, fine, I'm fine. And some of you that are super spiritual go, well, I'm blessed and highly favored. You know, you just wear this mask. Nothing wrong with saying those things. But if it's not true, you're not helping yourself. Being dishonest. You act like everything's good when your life's going to hell in a handbasket. Some of you were experiencing turmoil on your way to church this morning. Why? Well, because she was running behind, or the kids were acting up, and because they were tired or not didn't want to come to church, or somebody forgot to take the trash out even after you asking 10 times, you know, yesterday. And you chose the moment on the ride to church to have that intense fellowship. And then you pull into the church parking lot and you reach around and you give the kids a little, hey, we're going to church. Everybody smile. I've been there, I understand it. There was one Sunday I was driving to church with my wife and we got into such intense, loving fellowship that I was pulled over the car that I was driving, handed her the keys, and I walked my happy rear end home. And she went on to church. Now, obviously, I wasn't the pastor of this church. That would be awkward. Pastor Aaron couldn't be here today. He and his wife had a spat. So, service is over. God bless you. Don't forget to tithe. It's true. It's not a flattering story to tell, but it's a true story. We got things that go on in our lives, but we've learned to put on a mask. We've learned to pretend that everything is fine when it's not. And unfortunately, that's the wrong way to live our lives. So I want to challenge you today. The Bible calls acting that way hypocrisy. The hypocrites of the day were actors, and they would wear these oversized masks on their face because they were performing in massive amphitheaters. And there was, by the way, young people, there were no big screens so that you could see what was going on. And so they wore big masks that were expressive to let you understand and feel the emotion they wanted you to feel. Hypocrites. And that's what we're doing when we pretend like everything's just fine all the time, keeping up appearances. We need to relentlessly pursue authentic, honest, life-changing relationships. We need to pursue what is real. Why? Solomon the Wise, that's my nickname for him. Solomon the Wise was the wisest man who ever lived, wrote this in Ecclesiastes. He said, there was a man all alone. He's got nobody. He had neither son nor brother. And there was no end to his toils. So in other words, this guy, because he's all alone, he's trying to fill that void in his life with all kinds of other things. He's filling it with fame. He's filling it with money. He's filling it with career. He's filling it with education. He is soul sick and he's lonely. And he's filling his life with all this other kind of stuff, trying to meet that need in his life. And yet it was still a void. And it says, there's no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. His wealth is everything he's earned. So that could be your degrees. That could be your position, whatever it is. All of this stuff was not what he was actually needing. It's amazing to me. I read Matthew Perry's biography. He's the guy who played Chandler on the TV show Friends. And in that book, he said, you know what? This is a guy, by the way, who at some point in time, they started making $1 million an episode, and there's like 20 episodes a season, and there were 10 seasons, okay? Do some math. Very wealthy. He found fame. He found success. He found everything he was looking for, and he said, it's funny. He said, you get all these things, the money, the fame, the glory, you get it all, and then you find out it's not what you're looking for at all. Now, I don't know why we won't embrace that truth for ourselves. You've got somebody who's literally living it. You're like, well, maybe he just didn't do it right. You know he's dead after all. Oh, a little too soon there, whoever said that. It was me, I said it for you. For whom am I toiling, he asked. And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. And then he goes on to give the answer. He says, two are better than one. This is why you need meaningful relationships. It's better than being alone. Because they have a good return for their labor. In other words, the work of relationships is worth it. The return on your investment in people is worth it. Yes, I know some relationships go sour. I get it. But that doesn't mean every relationship is going to go sour. It doesn't mean that all of them are bad. Two are better than one. If either of them falls down, which by the way, this really shouldn't say if, it should say when, because it's not an if, it's a when. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to have issues in your life. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone, pity them who falls and has no one to help them up. By the way, this is how a lot of y'all live your lives. See, having relationships and having somebody to talk to isn't important until everything's falling apart. You don't want to do the work of the relationship so that you have somebody to talk to as the pain begins. No, you only talk whenever it's unmanageable for you anymore. Dang, James Wright. It's also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. You ever watch the Discovery Channel? What do lions do and the predators do? They want to get somebody isolated, because when you're in the herd, you've got protection, you've got safety in numbers. But if they can get you isolated away from the herd, you're lion lunch. And that's how many of you live your life. The Bible says that the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for lunch. He's looking for you. He's looking for the people that are isolated. He's looking for the people that are alone in their thoughts, alone with their temptations, alone with their issues. You're lunch, and you don't even know it yet. Two can defend themselves, and then he goes on, hey, you know what's even better? A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We need to be a church of people that are in relationship with one another. I would even say a church of groups, because you cannot stand on your own. Sundays are simply not enough for us, and my preaching is not enough for us. We need one another. We need one another. Someone needs to know what's going on in your life so that they can have your back. You know, powerful indicators as far as what we need and what we're actually looking for are what gets celebrated in pop culture today. And there's a whole lot of TV shows, and whether you're watching on a TV or on your phone or whatever screen you're consuming content on, but the shows that are on repeat, they tell us something. In fact, they're now saying that the shows that are on repeat in your life are shows that you watch because you potentially lack whatever it is that you're watching in that show. One of the shows that is still on repeat today is a show that my parents watched. I was allowed to watch it at times, but didn't watch it. But it was a show that had a theme song that really accurately represented what we really need in life. And it was a song about a bar, but it should have been a song about the church. And it goes like this. I'm not going to sing it to you, but it says, making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everyone knows your name and they're always glad you came. And you want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to go where everyone knows your name. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Ding. What show?
Cheers.
Cheers. That's right. We've tuned into this show. It's still being aired on television. We watch it over and over again because that's what we're longing for. We're longing for a place where we can go that everybody knows our names, where our troubles are all the same, where nobody's judging anybody because I'm a mess and you're a mess. Here's another show that is really popular. Here we go. So no one told you life was gonna be this way. Oh. Goes on to say, I love you. I heart all you people that played. Your job's a joke. You're broke. Your love life's DOA, dead on arrival. It's like you're always stuck in second gear, so you're not getting anywhere fast. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year, but I'll be there for you. When the rain starts to pour, I'll be there for you. Like I've been there before, I'll be there for you because you're there for me too. What show?
Friends.
Yeah, you know why we all tune into that? Because we need friends. Okay, let it set in. Okay. Why does this resonate with us? Why do these shows resonate with us? Because that's what we all long for. We all long for that kind of connection. We all need to be known in the way that these characters knew each other. They had authentic, honest, real, life-changing relationships, and it showed. They weren't perfect. Not all of their lives and their choices were pretty, but they were real. It was raw life with all of its ups and downs, and these shows that we're watching are not even believers that we're watching on television. They're not Christ followers. But let me tell you something. What we're watching is what the church should be like. It's what it should be like. And I don't mean this building. I mean the church. You are the church. This is what we ought to be like. It's why I think groups are a good fit for all of us, because we learn to be this way in our groups. It's why I think being on a team is important, because you get to know people on a deeper level. If you doubt me, all you got to do is try it. Test me. See if it's good for you. We've got a season of Grow Groups that are getting ready to start, and you can join a team at any time. You say, how do I do that? Go to Growth Track, mark your Connect card, or stop by the Growth Track table after church today for more than just the decor items that are over there. But talk to the team. Find out how to go through Growth Track. They'll help you get on a team. And here's the thing that I really love, is that to join us either on our teams or in our groups, you don't even have to be a member of this church. In fact, the last group that I led, the Financial Peace University, we had a couple that do not even attend our church that found out we were doing it. And they're like, can we join you? Yeah, absolutely. We have all kinds of people that join the different groups, the activity groups that we do. They're not even believers. You mean you fellowship with Thin Earth? Yeah, you know what? Because we're all Thin Earth. And I believe that you can belong before you believe. In fact, one of my favorite stories is a story of a guy who took me to coffee, and he said, I don't believe what you believe. He said, but I really like coming and listening because I can apply something to my life every week. Is it okay if I keep coming? And I'd also like to join the parking team. I was like, yes, sir. Yeah, you can join the team, even though you don't believe. And you know what? It wasn't but a few short weeks after that conversation, and he joined the team, that he was sitting on a front row. And when I said, anybody want to say yes to Jesus, his hand went up and he placed his faith in Christ. You can belong before you believe. It's important. That includes our groups and our teams. Our teams serve in a lot of different capacities. Sunday, and then before you all even get here, our worship team is here at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning. So if you've got a musical gift and you want to be part of that team, you can do that. There's people that are serving during service, before service, after service, through the week. Administrative giftings, leadership giftings, serving in the kids, helping us with our financial stewardship teams, being members of our board, helping us guide and direct the future of this church. You can be part of it all, whatever way you'd like to be, but you don't have to believe to belong. Our groups, the study groups that we have groups for men, we have groups for women, our grow groups, we have activity groups, we have study groups, we have parenting groups, marriage groups, freedom groups. We've got lots. Actually, this season, I'll tell you, we've only got four groups. We need people to lead. Groups launch in 2 weeks, and I need some more people to lead groups. Just putting out a pitch. If you want to know more about leading a group, join that meeting right after service, right in here. Get your cupcake and come on back in. But we need more leaders. If you've already attended one, we invite you to lead one. That's the only stipulation we ask. And so today, the groups are available for you. You can go out and look at what's there. I'm leading a Learn How to Read Your Bible, which I think a lot of us need to learn how to do. I'm going to lead a group that's going to teach you that. 6 weeks. You'll learn it. You'll learn it. But get in a group. Lead a group. Why? Because real life change happens in the context of relationships. That's where it happens. You know this to be good, to be true. That Sundays, yes, are good. Preaching can stir you to action. It can inspire you. It can challenge you. But it cannot transform you. Relationships can. It can. Absolutely. You're not shaped by the events that you attend. Your life is not shaped by the sermons you hear. I would challenge you to name 5 sermons that have transformed your life. I'll bet you can't name them. I'll bet you can't name 5 events that you've been to that have changed your life, but I'll bet you can name 5 people who have impacted your life. Real easy. Without thinking hard about it. Why? Because that's how it works. Relationships impact your life. Paul said this in Romans 12. He said, so we who are many are nevertheless just one body in Christ. And individually, we are parts of one another, mutually dependent on each other. What is Paul saying? Let me break it down. You need each other. In fact, do me a favor, turn to someone on your right or your left and tell them, you need me. All right, turn to your second choice and tell them, you need me. We need each other. I need you, you need me. We need each other. We've got to stop making it about me, and we have to start making it about us. It has to be about us. It's a we. We belong to one another. We need each other. Now, let me show you further why we need each other. There's a tool that was developed by some psychologists, Joseph Luft and Harry Ingham. It's called the Johari Window. It helps you understand group dynamics. If you've walked through recovery, I'm sure, addiction recovery in any way, I'm sure you possibly heard about this and walked through something similar to this, but it helps us really understand what's going on in our relationship and shows us what us looks like and really, really expresses the value of others in our lives. And so it's a four-pane window, four quadrants of our life, and all of us have them. The first one is the arena. And in the arena, in our group dynamic, it is simply that I know and you know. So this is the areas of my life that I know and you know about them. This is oftentimes the surface level information. It's things that we can know about somebody just through casual contact with them. And honestly, I would say that this right here, this I know and you know, is most Christians' experience. It's casual. It's surface level. There's not anything that's real deep. There's no real connection with the people around them. And it's also why they never grow. Why their lives are never transformed, because they're just not in a relationship with one another in a deep way. They put on a mask that everybody sees, and they're living their lives inauthentically. They're showing everybody that which is fake. And Jesus confronted this hypocrisy in the church in Matthew 23:5. He said, everything they do is done for people to see. In other words, they live their lives so that you see it. So you see it's good, everything's fine, I'm blessed and highly favored, you don't get to see the dirt, everything's fine. I want to impress you. So I'm only going to show you that which is good. I may even lie a little bit, maybe fabricate how good things are in my life. He said, they make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. Now, let me help you with that. The tassels were, they had over 600 tassels on their garments, and it was each tassel helped them remember each law that God had for them. And a phylactery was just a leather box that literally had a scroll of God's law in it. And this phylactery, which he said, basically Jesus said, I like big phylacteries and I cannot lie. You other Jews can't deny. These leather boxes, I actually saw this in Israel this past year when I was there. They have these leather boxes literally that they put on their foreheads, and there's a long leather cord because the Bible says to bind God's word on your forehead and on your wrists. This was just saying like, hey, so that it's everywhere, so that people see it and everything you do is guided by it. It wasn't meant to be a physical thing, but they've made it a physical thing. And so the box, God's law, is in this phylactery that's on their head. And then the leather straps go down their back and then wrap down around their arms. And like when it's visible, they look like some kind of like, I don't know, some kind of like Jewish rock star or some kind of vigilante or something, you know, like some kind of costume from a comic book. It's incredible. I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying, like, it's kind of cool looking. But the point is that what they're doing is they're wearing God's law on the outside, and they're not internalizing it and allowing it to transform their hearts. Jesus is saying you do everything externally, but what's on the inside isn't being impacted. And that's how a lot of us Christians are. We smile. We come to church. Sometimes we dress up real nice in our Sunday best. We carry our Bible. We attend a service. We want everybody to think that everything's good, but on the inside, it doesn't match the outside. And we like it that way. Nobody knows. Jesus keeps going on to say in verse 27, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. Whitewashed tombs. If you've ever been to the cemeteries where they actually do good upkeep on them, it's actually kind of beautiful, even though it's harrowing and haunting to be there. The stonework, it's all really impressive and beautiful. Mausoleums that are made out of marble, they're gorgeous. But when you go inside one, there's nothing but death and sadness there. Beautiful on the outside, dead stuff on the inside. And this is what Jesus is confronting, that we live our lives putting up a beautiful front, wearing a beautiful mask. I look happy. I look fulfilled, but I'm not. I'm putting on a front. I'm putting on a mask. I'm dead inside. Look beautiful on the outside. Look like I got it all together, but death is all that I hold. And this right here, This is why we need to be reaching people that are far from God. Not just because when we pass from this earth, there's an eternity to face, either in heaven or in hell, but because people are living through hell here on earth right now. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. And being on the dream team and being in a grow group will help you create an environment for you to get to know one another beyond the surface. Get in a group. Get on a team. Go to Growth Track. The second quadrant of your life in the Johari window is the mask. This is I know, but you don't know. It's speaking to your secrets. It's that stuff you don't want to tell anybody about. The stuff that you don't want anybody to know. The truth is, you and I, we've got secrets, don't we? We've got secrets. And here, I'm not telling you mine. Don't get all excited and get your popcorn out, because I'm not going to start telling you mine. And I don't think that what is going on with you, your secrets, that you need to tell everyone. But I think that you and I are both in trouble if we don't have someone to talk to tell our secrets to. We need someone. The Bible takes issue with us being the only one who knows our secrets. In fact, I don't think you're ever going to get past the issue that you're dealing with if you try to go it alone. You're just not. I live this out. It's uncomfortable. It's horribly uncomfortable, especially holding the role and the position that I do, because I'm like, oh dear God, if I tell someone, if I have to say this, they're going to think less of me. They might even leave my church. I take all that very seriously. And I don't want to cause you to stumble, but I live this out. And I have to sometimes say, hey, I need help. I've told many of you before, I have addiction background. It's addiction, it's pornography use, and it ran rampant in my life and destroyed my life and my marriage for many, many years. But I needed to talk to someone about it. And to this day, I have to make sure that I'm safe. To this day, I have to make sure that the environments that I live in, because when you live in them, it's different than just visiting them. Amen, everybody? And my home's got to be safe for me. And I had to have a conversation. Many of you know we sold our house and moved in with my mom during the time when we were looking for a place to stay. And I discovered that there was an iPad in the house that was unlocked. It means I could look at anything I wanted to with no accountability. And my little addict brain, I was immediately robbed of peace. Because all I could think about was, well, I could steal that iPad off and I could just go into the restroom and nobody would ever know. And I could look at anything I wanted to and no one would judge me, no one would think anything of it because nobody would have to know. And I could just do this secretly and I would never get caught. And what I did with that secret was I went, hey, Mom, I need some help. This is embarrassing for me to say, but I need you to put a passcode on this thing that I don't know so that I can't access it. I need it locked down a little bit. My sister's iPad, she hated that, but I live here and I need help. I'm just being real with you. I didn't want to fail. I didn't want to dishonor God. I didn't want to dishonor my body. I didn't want to dishonor my wife. I didn't want to dishonor you. And so I asked for help. I embarrassed my flesh so that I could honor God. You need to have somebody that you can share your secrets with. You need to have somebody in your life that you trust, that you're open with, so that you can move past those things. Because you can have, because as soon as I told my mom what I needed and she did what I needed, immediate peace. Immediate peace. Some of you are learning something today. You can have that too, but not if you hold on to your secrets. Why? Because you'll always stay as sick as your secrets. You'll always stay as sick as your secrets. You want to defeat depression? You need to talk to someone about it. Maybe you need to talk to a professional about it. You want to stop clicking on that thing on the internet? Stop looking at it? You need to talk to someone about it. Get a battle buddy. Doesn't have to be me, but it can be me. You want to stop that behavior? Talk to someone. Get accountability. Get counsel. You want to correct that attitude in your life? Talk to someone. Or better yet, how about you ask them, hey, when I show up this way, how does it make you feel? Be open to the feedback. Let them talk to you and listen. Stop trying to go it alone. Let someone other than God know what's going on in the depths of your heart and in your life. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is the Message paraphrase. It said, since God has so generously let us in on what he's doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. We refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes, and we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, We keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. Oh, you want to judge my life because I've got issues? Watch how I handle my issues. I got issues and you got them too. You do. But this is why honesty, we need honesty. We need honest, authentic relationships. We can be real with somebody because that's our first step towards freedom. Taking off the mask is so freeing, and you inherently know that it's true. You're dying to tell someone to unburden yourself. He's like, but Aaron, I talked to God about it and I received forgiveness. Yes, that is true. You get forgiveness from God. That's important that you do that, but you need to be talking to someone else. I'm getting ahead of myself though. We don't do it. We don't do this. We've got a lot of good reasons for them, I think. Those reasons are because once we tried talking, maybe to a pastor, maybe to a fellow Christian, and what they did was they turned it on us, and they used it to abuse us. They used it to belittle us. They used it to remove us, to reject us, and that's painful. I get it. But not doing this or trying this again is like never using an oven because it burned you once. Come on. If the oven burned you, learn how to use the oven so you don't get burned. Grow as a human being. Learn how to use a pot holder. When the thing's on, don't touch the spots that are hot. And in relationship, maybe you don't go back to that relationship, but not all relationships are that one. Come on, somebody. We don't discard this just because there's some pain from the past. I'm not saying that what you went through is trivial. I'm not doing that. I'm not trying to say that you just need to suck it up, buttercup. That's not what I'm saying to you, because I'm sure that what you went through was painful and it hurt. I'm sorry. But I'm telling you that not every relationship is that way. It's not. You're not going to be let down. You're not going to be judged. Joining a group can be scary. Getting on a team can be scary. Because we have fears of being judged. We have fears of being thought as less than, misunderstood, pointed out, and rejected. And I felt all those too. I worried when I first got into a group in 2010. When I came back to a relationship with the Lord, I worried, nobody's going to like me. I'm too quirky. I'm a nerd. Nobody's going to share my interests. Nobody's going to understand the pain that I've walked through. I'm going to be rejected. They're going to leave me. They're going to make fun of me. And none of that was true. And by the way, the people that do that to you, they're not for you. Bye, 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 bye. Later. Don't worry about them. But nothing about those fears feels good, especially when it actually is realized and it happens. But I am going to tell you that the risk is worth the reward. It most certainly is. Every time. C.S. Lewis said this, friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. That's what'll happen when you get in a group. You'll take off your mask and you'll start telling somebody about what you're going through, and you're gonna find out that they've either been through it, they know somebody that's been through it, and they've got grace and mercy for you. They're willing to be there with you through it. And then you find a connection. You'll find that in a group. You'll find that on a team. You'll find it. We've all got issues, and that's why we all need each other. Check out this verse, which is very famous, but I'm not going to stop where you think I'm going to stop. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And Father, we thank you for that. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's talking about heaven right here, but this is where a lot of Christian experiences stop at step one and two. We say yes to Jesus, we get baptized, and we're done. I got heaven secure, right? I'm going to have heaven someday, but I'm living through hell on earth. We stop. But that verse goes on. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In other words, God knew you were going to have issues. He didn't come here to make you feel sorry. He didn't do that. That's not what God is up in heaven, wagging his finger at you, shaming you, trying to disqualify you. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus came to help. He didn't come to make you sorry. He came to set you free. That's why Jesus came. The verse goes on, whoever believes in him is not condemned. In other words, your end isn't known. Like, you're not judged. You're not condemned. They haven't given you the verdict. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Why? Because we know they're not taking their steps. They're not believers. They're not going to walk out this life. You know that they're relegating themselves to a life of personal hell. Because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only son, this is the verdict. In other words, here's what you should do. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. So they want to hide. They want to keep their secrets to themselves because they've made a mess of their lives. they're embarrassed. But he said, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And this is not what God has for you. Here's what he offers instead. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. You can experience real freedom, my friends. So let me make it simple. Here's what we need to do. John said those verses here, and John was Jesus' best friend. But here's the half-brother of Jesus. Jesus was fully God and fully man. James is just fully man. But here's what he said in James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins. Pause. What does sins mean? It means every area of your life that you miss God's best for you. And many of you are missing God's best for you in your marriage, in your thought life, your mental health, in your bodies, in your relationships, in your community. You're missing God's best for you. You're missing it. It says, confess. Therefore, confess any way that you've missed God's best for your life to each other. Yes, we confess our sins to God for forgiveness, but watch this. Confess them to each other and pray for each other. That's how you know he's talking to a believer, by the way, saying believer to believer. And pray for each other so you can be healed. You want forgiveness, you talk to God. You want healing, you need to talk to someone else. See, what James is telling you is what the Bible knows and what therapists and psychologists know today is that we are wounded in relationship and we are healed in relationship. It's where it happens. You need to be in relationship with people. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Don't just confess to them. Have them pray for you right then and right there. Your healing's on the other side of it. And by the way, if you're the person that someone is confessing to, don't you dare look down your nose at them. Don't you do it. Somebody comes to you and says, I'm struggling with something. You listen and you love them and you give them the grace and the mercy that you would expect God to give you when you confess your sins to him. Don't you judge them. Don't you think less of them. Love them knowing that you are 2 seconds from stupid too. Mm-hmm. That's right, write that down. We're all 2 seconds from stupid. Get into a group, join a team. It's where you find these kind of relationships. Exchange phone numbers, check in during the week, ask them how that thing is going, especially if you become an accountability person for them or about something that's secret in their life. Watch out for one another. Paul bragged about one of his group members. His name was Epaphras, and he said this in Colossians 4, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greeting. He's always wrestling and praying for you. And prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. You know, we need more Epaphrases here. We do. We all need them. Somebody that's praying for you. Groups is a great place to meet your Epaphras, to find one. A team is too. Now back to the Johari window. I got two more to go through in a little less time. So here you go. So there's the arena you know and I know, the mask, I know but you don't. And then the third pain is the blind spot. It says, I don't know but you know. Now, the blind spot is one of those difficult areas because everybody around you can see your issues and you can't. That's a tough one. That's the, like, your fly is down and you've got a big zit on your face, right? Something you can't see. And you need somebody in your life that is willing to say, hey, bro, your fly is down. Or, hey, man, you got a nice little friend growing on your face there. You want to go ahead and take care of that? Come on, somebody. Everybody else sees what's going on and it's awkward for them, but you're living free as a bird because you've got no idea. They see it, but we need real relationships with somebody who will come up to you and say, your fly's down. Somebody that will say the difficult thing to you, the thing that you don't see in your life. We need real relationships, and the closer you are, the less awkward that is. A stranger comes up to you and starts telling you something, a blind spot in your area, it's hard to hear, it's embarrassing. You feel a little called out and a little like exposed, it feels a little harsh. But all of us have these your fly's down issue. It's the hey, bro, you know the way you talk to your kid isn't going to get you the result you're looking for? Or, hey, you know, when you act this way, you're just pushing people away from you. It's that person that's willing to say, I don't know if you realize this or not, but this is going on. That's a real friend. We need people that are speaking to our lives that we trust who see what we can't see because life's better. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, not the wounds of an enemy. Your friend, it's faithful, it's good. It's okay, they're gonna hurt your heart, they're gonna hurt your feelings by pointing out that blind spot, but it's better because only an enemy will tell you everything's okay and kiss up to you all the time. That's what it says. That's what it says. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We need somebody that has our back. Hebrews 3 verse 12 says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Don't wait. If you've got somebody you trust in your life, ask for the feedback. Hey, do I got blind spots? Some of you need to have that conversation today with a person that you trust. Some of you just need to begin those kind of relationships today where you begin developing and can work towards a place where you can ask someone, hey, what are my blind spots? Is there anything I'm doing that is really just maybe not representing Christ well? Maybe not representing my values well? Huh. You need for relationships people that are willing to step into those hard spaces and those hard conversations. Now back to the window. We've got the arena where I know you know, the mask I know you don't, the blind spots where you know and I don't, and finally, the potential. I don't know and you don't know. This is an area of your life that nobody here knows. Only God knows this area of your life. It's the part that hasn't been realized yet for you in your life, and you never will on your own. You just never will. There is a best version of you that is yet to come. It is who you could potentially be. I learned a song when I was younger in Sunday school, and it goes, I am a promise, I am a possibility, I am a promise with a capital P. I am a great big bundle of potentiality, and I am learning, hey, to hear God's voice, and I am trying to make the right choice. I have a promise to be anything God wants me to be. And that's true. You have potential. I've been singing that song all my life. It's been years since I sang it. I started singing it last night. Chanda's like, yeah, let's go. But I can't tell you what your potential is, and you don't know either. You don't know. So how do you find it? In relationships. The Bible calls us a body. That the part that we play isn't near as important as the fact that we are connected to the body. See, a hand that gets cut off and severed from the body is never going to grow to its full potential. Why? If you cut a hand off or any kind of appendage off your body, you know what? That part that you cut off from the body's going to keep growing. It's going to sustain itself. But the hand or whatever part that is cut off, what happens to it? It shrivels and dies because there's no life flowing to it. It's not connected to the body. Everything I have in my life is made better by relationships around me. Everything, my marriage, my financial planning, my parenting, this calling God's placed on my life, the ministry we do here, our church community, all of it is made better because of the relationships around me. I live to my full potential because of you, because of the people I'm in relationship with. And you need people if you're gonna thrive, if you're gonna reach your potential. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We need relationships that are willing to bump up against us. We need people that even though there's sparks flying in that relationship, it's for our betterment. It's good. We need people to make us better. Paul said this in Colossians 2. They've lost a connection with the head from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. You want to grow in the way that God wants you to grow, you got to be connected to the body. You got to be part of one another. So how do we grow? What do we do? Two things, very deep theology. May not have heard this yet today. Get in a group. Get on a team. It's real deep. But I'm telling you, this is where the secret sauce is for our church. It's simple. Get in a group. Get on a team. All of us need two things in our relationships. We need to be needed and known. You're needed on a team, and you'll be known in a group. Get in one. Get into authentic, honest, life-changing relationships. Stop by the Grow Group Expo today, or if you've got the app, open up the group section on your phone. Look what we've got available. Maybe even answer the call to lead a group and do that today. Let's pray. Father, I know that this is super practical, but I know there's a lot of us that are resistant to it. For one reason or another, we've got hurts, we've got pains, we've got aversions to joining and taking this step. And God, I just pray that you would help us to overcome whatever is in our hearts, whatever is holding us back. Help us to take this all-important step, to trust you, to trust that this is what you have for us, to trust that our lives, our potential, who we could become is not even known and cannot be known until we accept that we need each other. So Lord, help us to do that this week. And now as I will continue to pray in this moment, there's those of you that need to take step one, and that's to make Jesus Lord of your life. If you're ready to do that, I'm going to pray with you. Would you just let me know you're doing that with me today? Would you slip your hand up and say, Aaron, that's me today. I'm doing that. Just go ahead and do that now. Yeah, so proud of you. Awesome. Anybody else? So proud of you. Thank you. You can put your hands down now. Church, everybody's going to pray out loud. Nobody prays alone. Let's do it. Let's say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. Make me brand new. Fill me with your spirit and show me how to live for you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode. We hope it has given you hope and helped you know God a little bit more. The goal of this podcast is to reach beyond our walls and connect with people far from God. If you'd like to join us in doing that, there are several ways for you to get involved. First, you can pray for us as a church. Prayer is our first response and our greatest resource. Pray for opportunities that we can boldly step in to make a difference in our community and around the world as we proclaim the good news of Jesus. Second, share this episode on your social media accounts and directly with your friends. It's easy to do through whatever platform you're currently using to listen to this message. Just click share and follow the prompts. Finally, you can support the mission through your generosity. The best part about this is that it's also an act of worship, where you express the priority of your love for God and others through your finances. Links to give are in the show notes, or simply visit www.mysimple.church/giving. We are so thankful you joined us today and hope you'll consider joining the mission of our church in some way. Thank you again, and we'll see you at next week's episode.